Welcome to Reading Through Life. This is a weekly podcast by two best friends who have major dreams of living inside a library.
We fully believe that there's no better company than that towering pile of 73 unread novels that you have sitting on your nightstand.
And if we don't get the quiet time to dive face first into a book each day, we get really stabby.
Each week, you'll find a conversation around books and our very different tastes and styles on what we read. I'm Mia, and I'm more of a classic fantasy type of reader who truly believes that books are precious creatures to cherish.
And I'm Sarah, a rom-com family drama type of reader, and I totally dog-ear my books.
We're so glad you're here today. Let's get into the show.
Hi, friends. We're back with another monthly recap of what we read in the month. And this time, we're giving you all the details of what we read in January, and we've got some big news to share with you.
As always, we've got five books each to share with you, and we'll dig into that soon. But first, how are you, Sarah? What have you been up to? Tell us all the things.
Well, the best thing is that as we are recording, today is Harrison's sixth birthday, and he's just adorable. Like, he woke up this morning and just had, like, the biggest grin on his face. I put streamers over his door, like in an X pattern, so that, like, when he came out, he, like, ran into streamers.
I love it.
So he thought that was cool. And later we are taking him. He gets to pick where we're going for dinner, so he picked Condado. Do you guys have a Condado?
No, what's that?
I don't know if it's like a countrywide chain or not, but it's like tacos and nachos and stuff. Ooh. He loves tacos. And then instead of getting him presents this year, because we're just like, after Christmas, like, I am so out of ideas. I have no ideas of what these kids want. And so I asked him, I'm like, what if we just gave you $100, which is probably what we would spend on his birthday presents, and we take you shopping? He's like, oh, I get to have $100. Like, he is so excited about this $100. So we're going to go to a few stores and stuff. And one of the stores he wants to go to is Barnes & Noble. And I was like, I love you. You're the best. So, yes, so we're doing that. And then in 10 days from now, I get to do it all over again with Henry's birthday. But then I'm done for the year, so I get to take a breath. So, anyway.
It's your birthday, so then you can celebrate yourself.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, now we're going to be 41. Like, that's not exciting. 40 felt exciting, but 41 just is like, meh, womp.
Take it back. I don't like it. Take it back.
Yes, exactly. How are you doing?
I'm fine. I have been trying to eat healthier lately, and I'm finding that it's hard to do in the sense that, like, snacks and things that are pre-made have all these, like, weird chemicals in them and all these added sugars and sucralose and corn syrup, and I'm really sick of it. And so I'm trying to make some of my own food where I can. And so I wanted to try making homemade yogurt, because all the yogurt I found at the store that wasn't plain yogurt that had any kind of flavoring had all this other stuff in it. So I looked up a recipe for making yogurt in the Instant Pot, and then I quickly realized that my Instant Pot does not have a yogurt function, which means you have to do all this other stuff. You could still make it, but you have to do other stuff to it, and you have to watch it like a hawk and, like, test the temperature and all this stuff. And, like, what is that? I'm very irritated. So, of course, I ordered a new Instant Pot, as one does, and this one does have a yogurt function, so when it comes, I'm going to play with it. But that is pretty much all of the excitement that is happening in my life these days. Yogurt, Instant Pot. I made homemade granola. Like, who am I? Who am I anymore?
I know. I'm just like, I think in the last 6 months, I'm like, do I recognize you anymore? I don't know. You did always tell me that you wanted to go and, like, be a homesteader. And I feel like we're moving in that direction. So, you know.
That's true.
Yeah.
But then when you hear about my weird books today, you're going to be like, oh, there she is. I know. She's there.
She's not gone completely. We got her still. All right. So instead of our something bookish segment today, we wanted to share some news. As of February, like the month that you're listening to this, we are going to be moving to twice per month episodes instead of one every week. The short version for the reason is because we are really freaking tired.
Yes, we are.
Yes.
And so Sarah and I have a lot going on in our personal and professional lives. As you guys know, I'm a homeschooling mom, and now I'm making all my own food. So that's taking up a huge chunk of my time. And Sarah's been getting new client after new client, which is eating up all of her work time. And these are all really good things. And we're excited about all the stuff we have going on. But we're just realizing that something needs to change.
And, like, normally when we hop on these calls to record, we are, like, over the moon excited. And we still were, like, to see each other's faces, because honestly, that's the best part of all of this. But it just became one more thing that was eating up our days. And we tossed around the idea of shutting down the podcast altogether, but that didn't feel right either. So we're going to experiment with this idea of having two main shows a month and see how that feels and if it helps us prioritize the other things that we have going on in our lives. This might just be for a few months. It might be from here on out. We really aren't sure yet. And obviously, we will keep you guys posted. But we just know that for right now, it's the right move.
And we will still be putting out all three episodes for our patrons each month: the Overflow episode, the Life Through Reading episode, and the New Books episode. So our patrons won't see any change on that end. We want to honor our commitment to those of you who have been such incredible supporters for us. But for the main show, you can expect a new episode the first Wednesday, which will be our monthly recap episode of all the things we've read, and an episode the third Wednesday of every month with something bookish. We hope you understand this need to make a change, and we hope you'll still be excited to hear what we've got going on in terms of our reading lives.
We're hoping this is going to go a long way to putting our passion back into this project and getting excited again each time that we hop on the bike. So thank you for listening to our news, and mostly thank you for being here and loving reading through life the way that we do.
All right, so let's talk about January. How many books did you read in January, and how many of those give you the 5-star book vibes that we're always seeking?
I read 16 books, and 3 of those were 5 stars, which is a nice big change from December when I had none.
I read 7 books and only 1 was 5 stars for me.
All right. So what was the monthly vibe like then in what you read?
Lots of mystery thrillers and lots of post-apocalyptic dystopian stuff happening. Doomsday prepper. I love it.
So for me, I just had, like, my vibe was just really, really good reading. I think there's only one book that I gave less than 4 stars for the entire month. So I just feel like 2024 is starting out really good. I did also DNF, I think, 4 books this month. Oh, but goodness. I think that just helped me, like, lead to 16 books that I really enjoyed. So I'm okay with that.
That's awesome. All right. So let's dig in, and I will start with my first book. All right, so the first one I have is The Escape Room by Megan Golden. This is a mystery thriller. It's 357 pages, and I gave it 4 stars. So this book takes place in the world of corporate finance and focuses on Vincent, Jules, Sylvie, and Sam, 4 people at the top of their game, making deals and tons of money. But a few recent missteps have put the 4 of them under the microscope, and cracks are beginning to show in their team. They are invited to participate in an escape room as a team-building function and to remind them to work together to solve problems. But they quickly realize this is no ordinary escape room, as they are stuck in an elevator and have to solve clues before they end up dead. Who will get out alive, and who is after them in the first place? So I've read a few of Megan Golden's books so far, and I really love the twists and turns in her mysteries, and this one definitely has some big twists. I don't know much about the corporate finance world, but Golden paints this really intriguing picture with high-stake deals, backstabbing, and greed. None of these characters are particularly likable, but they are compelling with how awful they are to each other and how they're constantly jockeying for position. I would have loved a little bit more backstory on these characters, because we just get a surface-level description on who they are and their motivations, and they really didn't feel like fully fleshed-out characters. And maybe that was intentional on the author's part, because it's hard to root for any of them in this weird elevator escape room fight to the death. And while I like this book a lot, I personally thought the twists and turns were a bit much. Like, there was a lot of mental gymnastics that had to happen in order for the story to get to its end. And I don't want to spoil it, but none of anything that was leading up to the ending was believable. It was very entertaining and very satisfying, but not believable whatsoever. And I think that that's why this ended up being 4 stars for me, because I kept rolling my eyes at all these very convenient events that happened to tie up the mystery. Plus, I figured out who was behind the escape room pretty early on, so that part felt a little bit anticlimactic. But if you're into very twisty mysteries and seeing bad people have to experience bad things, I think you might like this one. And that is The Escape Room by Megan Golden.
We have the same headphones, right?
Yeah.
Why do yours look good on you and mine look like I'm a little kid at, like, a monster truck rally?
Maybe I have, like, a really big head.
All right. My first book I'm so excited to tell you about, because it is The Same Bright Stars by Ethan Joella. This one comes out in July of this year. So I'm sorry that you have to wait a little bit, but I could not wait to read it. This is fiction and it's 304 pages, and it was my first five-star book of the year. In beautiful Rehoboth Beach, Delaware, Jack runs the restaurant that has been in his family for years. The restaurant is his life, and he isn't quite sure who he is without it. And now, Del Dine Group is eager to get their hands on the restaurant, and Jack is wondering if this might be his chance to do more with his life. As the offer takes shape, Jack receives startling news from his past that reshapes everything he thought he knew. So you guys know how I feel about Ethan Joella. He is just a master at crafting character and setting. All throughout this book, you can get glimpses of his beloved Rehoboth Beach as he puts you on the boardwalk, as we sit in the sand, and as we walk amongst the stores that make up this nostalgic piece of the country. You can picture this area so vividly, which only adds to the feelings as you get to know Jack and the people in his life. Jack himself is a character you just want to root for. He's devoted to his life running Schmidt's restaurant, but you can feel that he wants to know what else might be out there for him, while at the same time caring so deeply about what happens both to the restaurant and to the people who work there. They are his family, the restaurant is his life, and if he loses it and them, will he know what to do next? As we dive deeper into Jack's story and his past, we explore grief and loss in the way only Ethan Joella can do it, with hope at its center. While he takes us on heartbreaking turns and shocking revelations, he does so with love and care for his characters, and while giving us, as the reader, a bright spot to cling to. The same Bright Stars has one main character at its center, which differs a little bit from his previous books, but he brings in the side characters so seamlessly that you feel as if you've gotten to know them too. Ethan Joella has already cemented himself as a comfort author for me, one I can turn to whenever I want that jolt of humanity, and this book is another incredible addition to his career. So this one is The Same Bright Stars by Ethan Joella, out on July 2nd.
Yay, I'm so glad you love it. I cannot wait to read that one.
Ah, it's so good.
All right, my second book I have for you is The Usborne Encyclopedia of World Languages by Susan Meredith and Claire Hickman. This is a nonfiction reference educational book for homeschool, and it was 128 pages, and my boys gave this one 4 stars. And so we are a Christian family, but I wanted my boys to learn more about other religions out there as well, because there are people who have very different beliefs and cultures, and I think it's super important for them to learn about that. This book, of course, covers Christianity, Judaism, and Islam, but also goes into other religions that I feel like we don't hear as much about, like Jainism, Hinduism, Baha'i, Buddhism, Shinto, and so many more. It also goes into more ancient faiths and mythology, like Greek mythology and stuff like that. This book is written from a very neutral viewpoint, so it's not advocating for or against any one religion. It's not making any judgments or anything like that, and it just covers the basics of them all. The pictures are extremely colorful and beautiful, and we really enjoyed exploring other faiths, albeit, again, a very quick overview of them. I asked my boys to rate this book, and they said 4 stars, which I feel like is pretty big praise from them for an educational book that their mom made them read and listen to. So I highly recommend this one to read with your kids if you want a quick survey of other faiths out there. And this is The Usborne Encyclopedia of World Religions by Susan Meredith and Claire Hickman.
Okay, my second book is called The Other Year by Rhea Frey. This one is fiction, and it's 352 pages, and it's another 5-star book. From chapter one, I knew this book was going to break me. As we open in the prologue, Kate and her daughter Olivia are at the beach on a day when the waves are strong. Olivia is playing near the shore while Kate stands watching. When Kate glances down at her phone to read a new text message, her life unknowingly shifts, and this is where the book splits into two alternating stories. In one storyline, 9-year-old Olivia disappears under the waves and dies. In the other, she pops back up and they continue on with their vacation. Frey takes us back and forth into these two realities, exploring the grief of losing a child in one, as well as the life shifts that happen in the other. Naturally, one of the storylines is a little bit more gutting than the other, but they equally have moments of pain. So because my oldest is also 9, this one hit me even harder, thinking what I'd have to go through if he never got to turn 10. But the ways in which Frey walks us through Kate's grief, especially in the first few chapters, is such a gut punch, so visceral, that I would read a chapter and then have to put the book down for a breather. It's really, really hard to read, and I don't want to understate that. But wow, seeing these two realities that Kate lived, one in which she lost her daughter, one in which she got to keep her, was a really stunning work of accomplishment. Both storylines felt so realistic, and as Kate alternated sources of pain, not just the loss of her daughter, but a marriage and learning to live a new life, I couldn't stop the tears imagining what this might feel like. So much of the storyline is about those tiny choices that we make every day as a parent, glancing away from our kids to check a text, not being fully present with them, immersing ourselves in work. Frey talks about all those little moments that we take for granted in a day with our kids, and it certainly made me sit up and pay attention to what I was missing with my kids. This year, I've been thinking that my 5-star books are those ones that I'm going to remember, maybe not character names or exact details, but the ones that I'll remember a feeling I had while reading, and this one will definitely fit into that category. I don't think this pain that settled into my heart is something that I'm going to forget anytime soon, and I will take the lessons from the book about being here with my kids long into the future. Obviously, as you can tell from this description, there is definitely a trigger warning for child death, but other than that, this is an absolutely stunning book, and it's called The Other Year by Rhea Frey.
All right, my next book I have for you is called Delicate Condition by Danielle Valentine. This is a mystery thriller. It's 414 pages, and I give it 4 stars. Big content warning for this one for infertility, for miscarriage, for some gore and grisly stuff happening. So Anna Alcott is an actress whose biological clock is ticking and she's desperate to be pregnant. As she embarks on a grueling IVF journey, strange things keep happening that convince Anna that someone is trying to prevent her pregnancy from happening. Medicines are lost, appointments are changed at the last minute without her knowledge, and now she's receiving very cryptic threats. Even after she finally gets pregnant, and this is not a spoiler, I promise, her doctor tells her she had a miscarriage, even though Anna knows she is still pregnant. But no one believes her, not even her husband, that all these strange things are happening. As her pregnancy progresses in horrifying ways, Anna doesn't know where to turn for help and how to save herself and her baby. So this book is a giant mind trip, and the blurb compares it to The Push by Ashley Audrain and The Silent Patient by Alex Michaelides, and I can see that, but I think there are bigger parallels to Rosemary's Baby by Ira Levin as well. Anna is very high-strung, and I think I could understand why the people around her are questioning whether she's mentally okay, because some of the things that she's saying sound completely impossible and a little crazy. And as we go on this IVF and pregnancy journey with her, you're never sure who to trust, not her friends, her husband, her agent, no one. Everyone just seems a little bit sinister with ulterior motives. But I will say that just when I thought I knew what was happening, the story took on quite a different turn. I would say the last third of it, you're like, what is happening? And everything I thought I knew about Anna and her baby was turned upside down. And I don't want to spoil it, but I think you'll be just as surprised as I was if you read this book. Things that Anna thought were harmless weren't, and vice versa. And it was just one big giant mind trip, like I said. I think what kept this from being 5 stars for me is when every little thing that happened got explained at the end. I mean, every little thing. And I would have loved it to end on a little bit more of a mystery. But if you're someone who likes things wrapped up neatly, you want all of your questions answered, I think you'll appreciate this story. I think Delicate Condition is tense and gripping and grisly and anything but delicate. So if you're squeamish, this one might not be for you. But if you like creepy and psychological terror and being surprised by the ending of a book, you won't be able to put this one down. And that is Delicate Condition by Danielle Valentine.
Okay, my next book is called Leaving by Roxana Robinson. This one comes out February 13th of this year. It's literary fiction. It's 352 pages. And this is the only book of the month that I gave less than 4 stars. This one was 3.5 for me. Warren and Sarah were college sweethearts until they weren't. They moved on with their lives, both have remarried, and they never expected to see one another again. But then they run into one another at the opera and they feel that spark that they felt all those years ago. Sarah is now divorced with 2 children. Warren is still married with 1 child, and they embark on an affair to rekindle what they lost all those years before. So I think that this felt like a really accurate portrayal of something that can feel kind of frequent in our world, long lost loves finding what they once had. But this book on the whole was incredibly somber and depressing. After I closed the book, I was just sad, and I'm not sure if I enjoyed reading this book or not. To be sure, the author is incredibly talented, and the love between Sarah and Warren was really apparent. But the pace felt really strange to me. Like, we kind of immediately jumped into the affair, and then we spent a lot more time in the after effects, when what I was really hoping to see was why Sarah and Warren were so in love to begin with. I never really understood what they had together. I was just supposed to kind of, like, believe it and just jump into the affair. But also, while I thought Sarah and Warren were great characters, their thoughts and actions felt applicable to their situation. I absolutely hated Warren's wife and his daughter, which isn't something that I expected to feel. Like, after all, they were the ones that were wronged in the scenario, but they seemed to be truly miserable people, and I really did not like reading about them. So That was the story. It felt rushed, but it also felt drawn out. I mostly liked the characters, except for those in Warren's family, and there were certain storylines that were truly heartbreaking and drew me in, while others just had my eyes glazing over. Though, of course, I can't talk about those without it being spoilery. But I never quite felt like I had a handle on where we were in the story. Were we just a couple of months into the affair, or were we like years in? Then suddenly we would fast forward to 4 years in the future, and it just felt like whiplash the entire time. There was also some weird repetition happening that I'm hoping was cleaned up in the final copies, and large chunks of it felt very overly written. So I am glad that I hung with the book, but I'm also not sure if it's one that I would readily recommend because it was just so depressing and sad. And I have to say, the end of this book had me so enraged that I had actually called my mom and I was like, don't ever read this book because I want to throw it across the room. I was so mad at the ending of this book, and I cannot wait to see what other people think about it. Maybe it's just me, but anyway, this is Leaving by Roxana Robinson, and it comes out February 13th.
So I have a paperback copy of this book. I think I won it in a Goodreads giveaway. And now I'm interested. Like, why are you so mad? I have to read it.
I just, and you like, sadder books than I do. Like, I need a little bit of hope in my books, and you don't always care about that. So maybe you'll really like this one. But I couldn't. When I was done with this, I'm like, well, now I just want to go cry somewhere and like crawl under my covers. I don't know. It's so depressing.
You know what I don't like about books about affairs is that they, like you were saying, you didn't like the main character, Warren's wife and daughter. And I feel like they go out of their way to make those characters unlikable so you'll root for the people having the affair. And that's like, wait a
Oh,
minute.
that's true.
Like, you know what I mean?
That
And that's like, if she was really nice and like lovely, you'd be like, oh, I feel bad for her. This is bad.
Yeah, and that's how I expected to feel. I was like, oh, these people are being wronged, but okay, I do actually really want you to read this book because there's so much in it that I want to talk about. I want to know if you hate the wife the way that I do because she does some
Okay.
really messed up things. I want to know what you
Uh-oh.
think about the ending.
Okay.
I need to talk to, maybe I do need to raise the rating for this book because it's like I can't forget it, but I also don't think I enjoyed it. I don't know.
Instead of giving it like 4 stars or 3.5 stars, you give it like angry
Yes, and
emojis.
maybe a couple of question marks because I just don't know.
I love it. All right, I'm gonna read that next. Okay. All right, my fourth book is The Pram by Joe Hill. This is a horror short story, and it was only 58 pages, and I gave this one 4 stars. This is another big content warning for infertility and miscarriage and just grisly, gross things happening. So, Willie and Marianne have just been through a heart-wrenching miscarriage. They decide to get away from their old lives and heal, and so they purchase a farmhouse in Maine with acres and acres of land. Willie, dealing with his own pain and realizing he may never be a father, goes for a walk and comes upon a small local grocery store. He buys a lot and realizes he has to get his groceries home, and so the owner loans him this very old, dusty, kind of gross pram to walk his stuff home. And he begins hearing the sweet coos of a baby that can't actually be there, can it? So I really love short, scary stories because I feel like sometimes they can be creepier than full-length horror novels, in my opinion, because so much is left to the imagination. And my imagination in particular always takes me to the scariest places, and I love it. And I also really love this story. Willie becomes obsessed with this pram as if a real baby is in it. And as the story goes along, you find out that something is indeed in it, but what that is, you'll have to read to find out. And what was really refreshing to me was seeing the pain of miscarriage and infertility from the husband's perspective. We often get stories from the women's perspective, and rightly so, it's traumatizing to have to experience those things. But I appreciated being in Willie's head as he's processing his grief, but also try not to show his emotions too much because he knows his wife is really hurting. And so if you love getting creeped out, if you love maybe seeing a very horrible subject matter from the husband's perspective, I think you might enjoy this short story because it's weird and creepy and kind of gross, but I really loved it. And so that is The Pram by Joe Hill.
I just texted Brandon about that because, I've been trying to find other books for him and he really likes Stephen King. And so I just sent him about that one. I was like, look up Joe Hill books because that's his son, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's his son. He writes amazing books. They're so good.
Okay, cool. All right, my next book is called Foster by Claire Keegan. This is literary fiction. It's 128 pages, and I gave it 4 stars. Claire Keegan is one of those authors that I've been really curious to try. Like, I see her books constantly, and they're so tiny and adorable, and I think that I need to try them. So here we go. In this, what could be considered a novella, we're in rural Ireland, and a young girl has just been dropped off with relatives on a farm. She has no idea if she'll return home or how long she'll be there if she does. The only thing she knows is that her mother is about to have another baby and her family is struggling financially. Through the summer, she is cared for and loved on and provided for in ways that she never has before. But of course, summer eventually has to come to an end. So first, I have to say that I had a physical copy of this book, but because of the Irish dialect, audio is definitely the way to go for this one. After reading just a few pages, I quickly sought out an audio copy and finished the book that way, and I loved hearing it in a more native accent. Plus, there were a lot of words that I'm like, I don't actually know how to pronounce this because it's, Irish and I don't understand. So, much better on audio. Secondly, while the story is very short, it's also really beautiful. It's simple, there isn't a lot to it, but you see how this young girl finds what it means to be cared for, and that is pretty magical. Claire Keegan definitely has a beautiful way of drawing you in so completely to a story that you're craving hundreds of more pages on her characters. I would have happily read more, eager to learn what was next for the girl, curious about what happens to the family that took her in and the family that let her go. I'm so glad that I finally gave this author a try, and I'm definitely going to be picking up more stories from her when I want a quick dose of humanity and beauty. So this one is Foster by Claire Keegan.
All right, my last book to share today is called Switched On by Franklin Horton. This is post-apocalyptic dystopian fiction, and this is book number 6 in the Borrowed World series. It was 300 pages, and I gave this one big 5 bright, shiny stars. So I've talked about this series on and off throughout the show, but let me give you a quick recap. And the basic premise of this series is that a terrorist of unknown origin has set off an EMP, which has cut off electricity in the United States. And they've also destroyed oil refineries, so there's no fuel. The series focuses mainly on Jim, his family, and some of his friends as he tries to keep thieves and criminals away from his home now that food and supplies are becoming scarce. So, in this book particularly, there are officials who are traveling to various parts of the US to try to turn the electricity back on, and they are welcomed by the townspeople. Except when these officials announce that the power will be redirected to other areas and the citizens living near there will not benefit from it. They are also creating camps for the citizens to go to where there will be food and electricity, but once the people go in, they cannot leave again and they have to give up their weapons. Jim and his family and his neighbors have to decide what's more important to them, electricity or freedom. So I have loved the series from the first book. It really makes me think about what I'd do if we didn't have electricity or fuel, where we'd go, how we'd survive. I'm still super obsessed with doomsday prepping, so this series is right up my alley. I think in this book, you get to see Jim become even more of a leader than he already was, and he's really banding everyone together for the greater good. Sometimes they lose people in their group and new people get added, but they always try to have each other's backs, and I love that message in a series about seeing the worst come out in humanity. I really enjoyed reading about Jim coming up with a plan for what they would do regarding the electricity situation, and also about how you always have to be on alert in order to survive. So, if you are also into doomsday prepping like me, I think you'll enjoy this series. And this book in particular was really well written. So, this is Switched On by Franklin Horton.
And the last one I want to share with you today is called Dixon Descending by Karen Outen, and this is out February 6th. It's fiction, it's 332 pages, and I gave it 4 stars. I picked up this book because I thought it would be about the trek up Mount Everest between two brothers with hopes of being the first Black American men to summit, but that isn't truly what this book is about. So Nate knows that his little brother Dixon is still devastated by missing the Olympic running team by 0.2 of a second. So when he suggests that they attempt to summit Mount Everest, Dixon eventually agrees and they train really hard for it. Once they're there, something goes terribly wrong, and as Dixon returns home, he not only tries to get back into his life as a school psychologist, but he attempts to deal with the anger and grief of what happened on the mountain. This book was truly heartbreaking. Oftentimes, I found that I was putting it away for chunks at a time because I just needed like a beat to process what was happening. I did initially hope for an Everest story because I'm always captivated by the men and women who make that journey, and we did get some of that, but mostly this is a story about brotherhood and about pushing yourself and about how lives can change in a split second. There is a secondary storyline, which might actually be the main storyline and the number of times that we're set inside of it. But in the secondary storyline, we're seeing into Dixon's life working as a school psychologist at a school for boys and his particular fondness for a boy called Marcus and the ways in which he believes he should try to help an extremely troubled kid named Shiloh. At first, I was like not interested in that story at all. I just wanted Everest and adventure and danger. But in the end, the secondary storyline is really what gives the book its heart. Because we not only see what kind of person Dixon is, but through this storyline, we see the ways in which grief shapes us. And we see the ways that we continually try to show up for one another, even those who don't seem to want our help, or maybe even deserve it. So this book was brutal, but it was beautiful. And I felt so particularly honest that by the end of it, I just wanted to wrap my arms around Dixon. So this one is Dixon Descending by Karen Outen, and it comes out February 6th.
Right, before we go, what are the books you're going to be talking about in Friday's Overflow episode for patrons?
All right, so I also read The Humans by Matt Haig, You Got Anything Stronger by Gabrielle Union, Our Ride to Forever by Julie Olivia, Their Free Fall at Last by Julie Olivia, 100 Days by Alice Pung, Whale Fall by Daniel Krauss, The Bodyguard by Catherine Center, The Road to Dalton by Shannon Bowring, Things We Save in a Fire by Catherine Center, A Christmas Spark by Cindy Steele, and The Flatshare by Beth O'Leary.
I cannot wait to hear your review of Whale Fall. I love that book so much. All right, my extra books are Edge of Darkness by Kyla Stone and American Detox by Carrie Kelly.
All right, that's it from us this week. We would love to hear more about what you've been reading, so come chat with us on Instagram at Reading Through Life Pod.
And until next time, we're wishing you 5-star book vibes. Bye!
Thanks for checking out this episode of the podcast. And now is the time we ask you for a super quick favor.
Will you take a screenshot now, like right now, of this episode and share it with a friend or on social media? We can't begin to explain how much your shares help us find other book nerds.
Plus, isn't life just better with more book friends in your life?
We're sending you virtual hugs and 5-star book vibes.
Talk to you soon.